The whole universe, the Khalik, the creator and the owner is Allah. From the small atom, particle, dust, to the heavens and the skies and the galaxies, everything is the creation of Allah. Allah owns all of this. Allah Ta'ala made the skies, Allah made the sun, Allah made the moon. Allah created us. And Allah created paradise and Allah created hell, hellfire. But this is not the case that Allah made paradise and hellfire and then He's just left the situation like that. Allah Ta'ala hasn't just done this for nothing. That Allah Ta'ala says that I want to start throwing people into Jahannam or I will just place people into paradise randomly. No, Jahannam, the fire of hell, is a very bad place, severe place, dark place. And the scenario with regards to hell is that it is below the seven layers of the earth or below the seven layers of existence. And heaven is very high indeed. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves His creation. Allah is the Khaliq, the creator, the Malik. Allah is Allah Rahim, Rahman, Razzaq. And He is Shakura, Alim and Kareem. And all of Allah's safat are all there for us to benefit from. So does Allah Ta'ala want to throw us randomly for nothing, for no reason, into Jahannam? The adab of Jahannam, the severe punishments that are there lying in wait and below the layers Allah Ta'ala shown in the darkness, the adab that is waiting for the people, such a fire, such punishment, such pain and hurt. Will Allah Ta'ala send His makhluk randomly into Jahannam? It's not the case. Allah Ta'ala says that وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ لَيْسَ بِظَلَّامٍ لِلْعَبِيدِ. That does Allah Ta'ala want to do wrong to His creatures? Allah says this is wrong. I don't want to do dhulm. I don't want to oppress my creatures. Why Zayd and Bakr? Why would I want to send them into Jahannam? Allah Ta'ala says, I don't want any of my creation that I punish them. Allah Ta'ala says, I love my creation immensely. You can look in the world, whether we accept or not, that even if people are disrespectful, Allah Ta'ala gives them food, sustenance, provision. So why will Allah Ta'ala want to send them into Jahannam? Why will Allah Ta'ala want people to burn in Jahannam? The reason for this is what? Allah said in the Quran that وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ لَيْسَ بِظَلَّامٍ لِلْعَبِيدِ. Rather, Allah Ta'ala says, what's the reason for this? That ذَلِكَ بِمَا قَدَّمَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ, which comes before the second half of the verse. Allah Ta'ala says that you've gone into Jahannam, into hellfire, you're burning and being punished. You have decorated hell yourself. You've prepared your abode in hell yourself. It's due to your own actions. ذَلِكَ بِمَا قَدَّمَتْ أَيْدِيهِمْ, in return for what your own hands have wrought. Allah says, you have earned and wrought your own punishment in hellfire. How? Allah Ta'ala sent us to this world, to planet Earth. Allah Ta'ala gave us the freedom of will. Allah said, now you've got time. You can create paradise for yourself or hellfire. And how does hellfire get created by man? That after death, all of the punishments that are lying in wait, they are created and made by a human being himself. When a human being commits a sin, that sin takes a physical shape and form. The more we sin, the more sins, the more physical form of sins and ugly appearances and images of the sin they're created. And when as soon as a person commits a sin physically on this earth while we're living, while we're breathing, that sin takes a form, a physical presence. For example, lying, the stench of lying. If Allah Ta'ala was to make apparent half the world, the people would die due to the smell of one lie. But Allah Ta'ala has hidden them. Where does that lie go? Where does that effect of that sin go? Into Jahannam. So if I lie here on the earth, then the effect of it will go into hellfire straight away. If I leave salah, then my leaving prayer will take a form, physical, and go into hellfire physically, and will wait for me. Whichever sin, immodesty, lying, consuming interest, whatever sin we take, those sins take a form, a physical presence, a form, and an appearance, and they are waiting for us in Jahannam. When I die, then from maut, from my death, the angels will come extract my ruh in a bad way, and then I'll be buried in my grave, and then I'll be given punishments, and my flesh and my body, my bones will feel. Allah will say, I'm not doing dhulam, I'm not oppressing, I don't want that you get punishment. You yourself, you earned the effects of your sins with your own hands. You did this. The amount of sins you did, then those sins became adab and punishment. They gathered and they gathered when you went to your qabr, to your grave. Where did the scorpions come from? The spiders and the fire, and the grave was squeezed due to the fact that you sinned. And Allah said, when you sinned, or I send that sin forward in advance to wait for me in punishment in the hell. In hell, if I come home, or if I leave this majlis and I'm traveling home 15 minutes in the car, I could swear, phoning someone, ridicule someone, joke against somebody, oppress somebody, send bad messages to somebody in 15 minutes. And look, from morning until night, if we look at the time and assess whatever we do, we know what we've done, and that's amassed and it's combined and collected. Allah Ta'ala says, and every sin takes the form of a punishment, a very severe punishment. Was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called his Habib, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to the heavens for a meeting. But due to the love and the consideration of the ummah, Allah ta'ala said, look, let me show the punishments that are lying in wait for your ummah. And because Rasulullah had yaqeen already, but Allah ta'ala wanted to show the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam so he could relay this information to us. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw a punishment. And he said, who are these people getting punished? And Allah said, these are those who used to consume interest. And who are these people swimming in the river of blood and pus? Those women who were immodest, sinful, and used to leave the homes with a wrong appearance, and people were attracted to them, and the menfolk, others who would look at their face and their bodies, and the sin that was earned by the menfolk in looking at those women due to their modesty, those women get that same sin and punishment. And if all day long we amass and collect and combine and analyze our sins, lying, backbiting, and you see the people who are backbiting on the earth, they're consuming the flesh of the people in the hereafter in Jahannam. We can't see that here, that we're eating flesh, but this sin of backbiting takes that form physically in Jahannam, eating the flesh of our brothers and sisters. Allah Ta'ala says, I'm not oppressing you, that the punishment has come due to yourselves doing dhulam on yourselves, oppressing yourselves. And Allah Ta'ala says further, that every moment in your life I try to save you from the sin, so you could realize that sin is a severe thing. And this won't just finish. After sinning you will forget, but the sin will not finish. It will take a form in Jahannam, the fire. We sin earlier in the day and we forget what we did a few hours ago, but that sin has taken a physical appearance, physical, and it's waiting for us in hellfire. Let's take another example. We have a dream and there's a cat or a dog running after us, somebody's grabbed us and somebody's strangling us, or somebody's scared. These are the appearances of our sins. Allah Ta'ala says, all the sins that you have committed during the day or in the previous days, these are being shown to you in the form of a dream. Some people say, oh, I recite Ayat al-Kursi, the verse of the throne, but I saw a bad dream and it was a bad effect. That where will the amal go due to Ayat al-Kursi? That they are collected in the form of sin. The sins, they are collected physically, and then they come into our minds, in our dreams, and in the hereafter we'll see them. This is Allah's karam. If a person understands, and very few people, they see with their own eyes, we see the adab and the punishment, and we don't get fear. But a person who has understanding, he remembers, oh, I saw a dream, yes, this is a message for me. I remember there was a dream, and at the time, previous sort of decades, there was a friend of ours, he was sinful, and he used to consume drugs and do bad actions and immoral actions, and used to mess around, and his parents were very distressed and upset. His father was upset, and he used to say to us as well, explain to my son, you know him. And his father used to wake up at the Hajjud time in the night and pray for his son. He was his first son and who had grown up, and he was not doing good actions, and his father would go to his own sheikh and say to his sheikh, please do dua for my son. My son is off the track, he's deviated. And if we see here now that alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah, just going to the side for a few moments, that this was the attempt of his father. Remember, as we mentioned yesterday, we discussed yesterday with regards to trying, working hard, making effort. For example, if our children are off track, if my husband isn't good, or if my wife's not good, or if the wife's good and the other person's not good, so we should try to advise them, give them nasiha, bring them back to the right path. So this is what we need to do consistently. Not that if I go home and I'm a sinner myself and I'm bad, and then my children grow up and now I've understood deen, and then I try to force the children to be good, and then to make them good I start beating them or stopping them eating or criticizing them, give them pain. Why are you doing this haram? You're doing bad actions. They would not come onto the right track, will they? They won't be advised in a nice way in that way, will they? So not fighting and quarreling. We want to advise people then with the love and affection, and gently we need to advise others. Don't quarrel and argue at home. Never will your husband come on the right path. Never will the wife come on the right path. Never will your children, because they have grown up now. And it's haram in Islam to have arguments and make arguments. We need to try. What do we need to do? We need to try. I'm explaining to you the practical event here, that his son, he was off the tracks. He was on the wrong path. He was deviated. He was a rebel. And he had gone away from the deen. And for example, if we see in our lives that our children are growing up now, and we also passed our life while the children were growing up as not good people, then suddenly we've learned deen, and then we start fighting with the children, saying, no, you can't do this, this is wrong, why are you doing this? And we pick up the sticks and hit them. No, the children will go more against the deen after that. So the first tariqah, the first method, is that practically we need to present ourselves in a good way to the family. Totally we should be right, go away from the wrong. And for example, the children should then see that, yes, maybe my parent, my father was wrong before, doing bad actions, but now he's good, he's doing the right thing. So in a nice way, with a good technique, sometimes 5 minutes, explain for 10 minutes, look, I used to do this, look at my situation, what did I used to do, mother says, and now I've understood, because this was the right path, the pure path, and now I understand, and I compare to my bad past. And then with love and with dalil and affection, and gently explain nicely, cajole and advise, and bring and mold the children to the, you know, take your shoes off and hit them, and you're immodest and you're bad and you're doing haram, never, and you will lose the children. Then this is not the tariqah, arguing in the house with a husband, wife, or wife with a husband or children. No, with love, affection, give da'wah, propagation, invite. First do amal yourself, practice yourself on the deen properly, with an honest heart, with a honest heart, practice in front of the children, and don't let the children see that, for example, you used to listen to music and do bad actions, etc. And then if they are doing the same now, then have patience, advise them, cry in your heart, and then secondly do dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Pay attention to whenever you pray salah after the fard salah, Allah give me tawfiq, give my children. Whenever Allah gives a tawfiq to pray salah or to do dhikr, after that action, do dua in the depths of your heart. Say, Allah, this is all due to me. My non-action, my bad actions, my sins, that my children in front of me are disobedient. I used to do this, they saw me. Now you've given me your fadl and karam, and I'm on the right track. Allah, please have mercy on my children. I'm telling you this story about this father. He used to do dua to Allah, and do dua in so much quantity to Allah. There's a hadith that the dua of the father and the mother, Allah Ta'ala listens mostly to the dua of the father and mother with regards to the children, and never lose hope. Oh Allah, I've asked you so much, I've explained so much. Who told you to explain the children? Just demonstrate your good actions to the children. Don't lie in front of them. Don't do a bad action in front of them. Don't do silly actions in front of them, especially after you've become a good person and the world considers you to be pious and you are showing another face at home. Then your child will never come to the right path. He'll say, oh, this is a drama. This deen of my father, my mother, inside the house, there's something different, outside the difference, and they show themselves to be pious in society in front of other people as kutubs and ghawth and walis, and at home, they commit fraud with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the child sees the contrast. No, totally amalan, inside and outside, internally, externally, inside the house, outside the house, totally we need to be correct, and practically we need to demonstrate the deen to our children, and suddenly the children will be have the impact. They will be overawed by the deen, and then do dua, not hitting them, beating them with sticks, and fighting, quarreling, disputes, and shouting. No, this is not the right way. No, never think of doing this. Not for a minute should we sit. For example, after you explain to them, demonstrate to them, and don't just do this all the time, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and force them or criticize the children. No, let them carry on. And just concentrate and pay attention to Allah, our Rabb. Because Allah Ta'ala, if He wants to change the hearts, within a second everything will go far away. And everything will change, the whole map and the sketch will change. This is the first thing. And secondly, it's obvious that then ask the walis of Allah to do dua. Allah Ta'ala, listen to the dua, the wali of Allah. And then Allah Ta'ala gives the advice that this person, for example, the children say, oh, my father, my mother, they learned from somebody pious. My father used to go to the company of this person. And if the father then sins on top of that, then it's a bad impression that will go. For example, nowadays the children, they rebel, isn't it? When the mother or father, they do tawbah, repent, and they go towards the good path, and they learn from the shayukh, from the awliya Allah, the children will then criticize. Oh, my father went to the shaykh and he learned the deen, and now he's changed and he's trying to force me. Now, slowly introduce the children to such an environment, bring them to a majlis or the company of the wali, ask them to do dua, slowly bring that child. But the wali will never say to the child that comes, oh, keep the beard, or observe the parda, or leave this haram. Never does a shaykh do this, because then if the child is brought towards a good environment, good company, good majlis, the child will say, oh, they're not strict, this teacher's not strict, he's not telling me to do this or leave this haram. I thought within a few minutes he'd start to force me now. So when the fear of that child comes out of the heart, the fear of the deen coming towards the right path, then slowly we can advise that child. Then the wali of Allah, his hands will raise, and he'll rise, and he will do dua, and then the shafqat and the love and the advice will come and bear effect on the child. So these are the three things we need to do to advise the people around us, our families. So So as I was saying, that before the father used to try to force his child and he used to hit him, then he understood, oh, I can't force him now. My child's grown up. Then he raised his hands and did dua. He got up at the Hajj time and cried for his children and his tears came out. Then one night, I'm telling you, in the dream, Allah Ta'ala gives the message. Allah Ta'ala can explain that your hellfire is being prepared. We don't even think at that time. We think, oh, it's a dream. It doesn't mean anything. So brothers, he was lying down and that child, his child who was a rebel, when he got up in the morning, then he was sweating. He was concerned and anxious. And when he told me the dream, and I'm shocked even till now, my hair stood on end. What was that dream? It was a description of what was waiting for him. He woke up and he saw a vision, like a real vision. And he saw totally from A to Z all of his sins that he'd committed in his life. And he was told in his dream that you are here. This is where you are in your life. You are going to die soon. This will be your hal. These are the punishments waiting for you. Are you going to come to the right track? Are you going to leave your sins? A to Z in detail, the angels described to him the sins and the punishments that were waiting for him. How could he dare not change? In the morning he was in prostration. He became pious, so good. Many people he did tabligh to. He made people come towards the deen. Even my salah became good due to his salah, subhanallah. Due to his tawbah. So I cannot forget this event in my life, I tell you. These are learnings and events that Allah Ta'ala gives rewards and the opportunity to learn. But we bypass this. We leave this. So it's not the fact that Allah Ta'ala wants us to go to hellfire. Allah Ta'ala says, no, this is the earning of your own hands. Allah Ta'ala says, ذَلِكَ بِمَا قَدَّمَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ. It's you who have sent on your sins and the punishments yourself due to what you've done with your own hands and the spending of your time. Allah says, I'm not involved in this, but yes, I've given you an opportunity. I show to you, explain to you, make you understand. We go to good places, sit with good people. And the person who has akal, he will understand straight away that, yeah, this is right. This is right. Jannat is made like this. Paradise is made like this. Jahannam is made like this. Allah Ta'ala says that you make your punishment and the sins due to your own hands and your actions. That Allah Ta'ala says that if you do good deeds, you will make palaces and mansions. We hear that those angels that are constructing our homes and palaces and mansions in the hereafter, they suddenly sit down and stop constructing. And then they were asked in the hadith, why are you sitting? You're not making this palace. You stop. They said that the material and the labor is sent from behind, from the world. How? That the people who do dhikr of Allah in the world, who do tasbihat, who remember Allah, recite the name of Allah, they're busy in the dunya in ibadat and worship. Then soon as they do this, then their construction is occurring. And thereafter, we construct their homes, we lay the bricks, and we make their palaces and mansions, so that when that human being passes away and goes to paradise, already in advance his houses are made for him. Are these hadith or not? Tell me. Tell me, of course they are. So this is reality. Both things are them. We construct ourselves with our own hands. So once if we say Subhanallah, in the hadith it just stated, what else will Allah Ta'ala explain to us? That look how Jannah is constructed. That just 15 minutes we travel here, I come here to do dhikr of Allah, and then I leave here afterwards, the majlis. And once or 100 times, if 100 times somebody says Subhanallah, then one, you get the reward of freeing 100 slaves. Imagine the reward. And how long does it take? 100 times to say Subhanallah, you get the reward of freeing 100 slaves. If I say 100 times Alhamdulillah, it's as if I have freed 100 horses fully laden, ready, prepared horses. Subhanallah. And to say Allahu Akbar 100 times, 100 times, how much reward? To give away 100 camels fully laden, prepared. And the person who says La ilaha illallah 100 times, then the gap between the heavens and the earth is filled with thawab for that person, and there's no greater reward or amal than this. How long does it take? La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu, that we recite. Lahul mulku wa lahul hamdu wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. The person who recites this kalima 100 times, what will he get? That the amount of foam on the surface of the sea, that is the amount of sins of his that will be removed. La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu ahadan samad lam yalid wa lam yulad wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad. 2 million rewards. Ramadan is coming, multiply by 70 all the thawab. 2 million rewards, multiply. And on top of that, due to Ramadan, during Ramadan, and I've earned Subhanallah wa bihamdi. Let's loot the rewards. 1,200,000 rewards. 12 million rewards. So much. And this is the thawab we are earning. And the person who says Allah in their heart, then all of these thawab, accumulative, combined, he will get by saying Allah once in the heart. Allah Ta'ala's dhikr, the person will be the most wealthy in the hereafter. Who will those people be? Those who did the dhikr of Allah. Why? Because the person who says Allah from the depths of his heart or her heart always, continuously, then he will get or she will get the thawab the most by saying the dhikr of Allah in the heart. Someone saying Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allah Akbar. But the person saying Allah, Allah, Allah in the heart, man or woman, brother, brother or sister. The most reward is earned by those people who are doing the dhikr in the heart, because Allah Ta'ala's name contains the effect of all of those rewards. So the dhakir, the sign of the dhakir, is that in the hereafter he will get such a treasure, and it's something to see. You will be so ameer and kabir and great, but not one a second, not a moment, not a minute in this world did he stop remembering Allah. And he kept his angels in paradise busy constructing his palaces, because his heart was immersed continuously in the dhikr of Allah. Look at this. And when we do dhikr, then Allah Ta'ala's fadl, Allah's mercy, Allah's blessings, Allah's grace is coming to us. And Allah's given us two things. Allah Ta'ala says, I don't do dhulam, I don't oppress, I don't say I'm going to send you to hellfire. You've gone yourself, nor did I prepare hellfire for you. And I've prepared paradise for you, Allah Ta'ala says, so you can do good deeds and earn paradise. And look at Allah's shan and karam, that all life long we commit sins, that we amass the sins to the heights, the peaks of the mountains. Allah's karam has come to us so much fadal, so much blessings, that all of our sins, due to the sins from the grave, from death to grave to thereafter, all the sins and the punishments are waiting for us, destructions waiting for us. But subhanallah, Allah's mercy came and akal came to me, and I have understanding coming, and I do tawbah, I repent. Soon as I do tawbah, suddenly, immediately, straight away, all of the sins, the punishments, they are eliminated and they are changed to the good rewards. And then if maut comes, there's no worry. Easy, smooth, relax. My sins, my record book of sins is removed. Allah Ta'ala says that if you do tawbah, e.g. by the hand of a sheikh, a wali of Allah, then you will have the earnings for paradise, the amount you want. You have eliminated hellfire. Punishments have gone. Allah Ta'ala said you did tawbah, you removed your sins. So Allah is Kareem, Rahim. And we are ajeeb, such silly people. We are wasting time in this life. We play with our breaths and with the seconds and the hours and the minutes. Let's compare our lives now. What have we done? Have we earned and accumulated the luggage for hellfire or paradise? We say with a cool breath, oh, it's Allah who will give us what He wants. We can't do anything. No, amal is what gives life. It gives paradise and hellfire. We earn with our hands. There's nobody who predestined. Nobody who automatically will be thrown into hellfire. No, Allah says, I've given you understanding, Quran, Hadith, description. If you do this action, you get this reward. If you do this action, you get this sin, this punishment. And we bypass this. We ignore this. We say, oh no, no, everything's automatically written. It's pre-written. It's written. Of course there's predestination. Of course there's destiny. But Allah says, do these actions. You've got the will. The thawab for this action, for dhikr, so much reward. Allah says, you still don't do this? Fair enough. Then we are at loss. We are wretched. We should do dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah, keep us conscious, aware, make us aware with regards to this world and the next. Allah, give us fikr, give us worry, for this reason, that not one second will we waste, never will we earn a scorpion or a spider or a snake in our graves. How lucky are those people who are dying and getting reward? And how unfortunate are those people who are dying getting sin? Both are human beings, both ate what Allah gave to them, both lived in this earth, both worked, both had a business. One is going to the left, one's going to the right. When they die and they pass away, their janazah is picked up and they're buried. Think about it, that their grave is being dug and they're both lowered, and after a second, after being lowered into the graves and the janazah is performed, both will have a different life in the hereafter. And one, when you, the first person who was good and earned good deeds, practiced good deeds and rewards, and the second who earned punishments, their lives in the grave will be so much in contrast. We think sins are small. Sins are not small. Immodesty, to go around in the world immodestly and against Allah Ta'ala's will, and to commit evil actions, immoral actions, dark actions, oppressing other people, our graves will be filled with the punishments. What will happen to me then? How will I live in my grave then? And the other person, the second person, understood in this world what is right and wrong, and he earned and did good. And as soon as he's loaded into the grave, he'll say, Allahu Akbar, it's taken me too long to come here. Too long, where have I come? And then when his eyes open up, he'll be sleeping, isn't it? He won't know what's going on. He'll be lowered into the grave. Then his eyes will suddenly open up. The angels will come. And then the fragrance will come from paradise and the description of paradise with regards to that grave. That grave, his grave will be like a portion of Jannah, paradise. He'll say, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, stuck in the world. Tell me, just for the few days of life that he controls, and he feels that this becomes my hellfire if I commit the sins. And if by mistake today I commit a sin and I do wrong and I bring Jahannam closer to me, you can consider that totally I've made hellfire, and I get the punishment that I'm sitting down in the world and I'm backbiting and I will consume the flesh of my real brother. And this will happen. Allah Ta'ala has mentioned this. The Prophet of Allah has seen these punishments. So isn't it better than this, that straight away I do tawbah now, I repent now, and I don't go, and I don't allow this to continue till then. But Allah Ta'ala's karam and His mercy, Allah says, do tawbah, and I will wash you, I'll clean you from your sins. For example, you attend a majlis of dhikr, from morning till night, the sins you committed, you'll be forgiven. Allah says, I forgive you again. So these opportunities that Allah Ta'ala gives to us, He sends to us, this is not dhulam that Allah Ta'ala is doing. Allah Ta'ala says, I'm not doing dhulam on you. I'm not doing dhulam on you. I'm calling you to the good deeds. I wake you up in the morning, tahajjud time, and I'm doing dhulam with you. I'm not oppressing you. We say, Allah, let us sleep, sit with ease. Why should I get up for fajr? Why should I go to the masjid? People are enjoying themselves. Look how they're enjoying. Allah says, I'm not doing dhulam on you. Dhulam you are doing yourself by leaving the good deeds. Allah Ta'ala says, I'm doing good with you that you cannot even imagine the amount of good I'm doing with you. You can imagine, and a person should jump up from the mattress in the morning, in the morning time, at tahajjud time, and prostrate to Allah, bow to Allah. One good deed we shouldn't waste, because we are making our Jannah, our paradise. We should make Jannah with our own hands, preparing this world for the hereafter. So this is understanding, awareness. We start in our life, oh, I've got a business, let's leave this business, let's do this action, we have this tension, this is not good, this friend's not good, relatives, relationships and friendships. But we should be alert all the time with regards to hereafter, actions with ease, with love. Spend your life nicely, easily, smoothly. Make judgments every second. You will realize straight away, is this action good? Reward for thereafter. Is this bad? Punishment for thereafter. You are dhakir, mashallah. You know that, oh, suddenly I've made a mistake. I stand straight away, Allah, forgive me. I do tawbah, I made a mistake, Allah, forgive me. Straight away, the sin will be removed. You'll be clean, purified, and then you carry on. If you backbite, stop, do tawbah, Allah, I repent, Allah, I need to do tawbah, Allah, I need to do tawbah, Allah, I need your forgiveness, Allah, forgive me for this backbiting. And if you do ibadah, it's qada, you delay, do tawbah, Allah, forgive me, I've made a mistake, Allah, Ta'ala will forgive. Allah will forgive. But create the connection with Allah, that as soon as we sin, if I sin, straight away, istighfar, istighfar, Allah, forgive me. And if I do a good deed, I'm grateful to Allah, Allah, alhamdulillah, Allah, alhamdulillah, you allowed me to do good. Because Allah says, when you do good, then definitely be grateful, because today I've given you the tawfiq to do good. Lazidannakum, and tomorrow I'll give you the same. I'll give you another opportunity, and I will call to you, and I will increase your ability to do good deeds. So do istighfar, repent for the sins, and on top of that, be grateful all the time. Grateful, grateful, grateful. Because always the sins, they are descending, the fitna is descending. Shaitan is trying his best to trap us. We've got the best tool. Shaitan makes a sin, we do istighfar. Shaitan makes a sin, we do istighfar. We repent. We ask Allah for forgiveness. So don't do any action bad, any man, woman, immodest actions, bad actions, that we earn hellfire. Brothers, there's no guarantee about life. We could pass away. Anyway, may Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Let's do dua. That Allah Ta'ala give us all the ability to understand and implement. Ameen.